Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that brings us to Malacha Hay, which is threshing. Okay, so the definition, the translation rather, we said of Dosh is threshing. And then the question is, what does that mean? So the long, kind of long definition here, ladies, is the extraction of a fruit or vegetable from its natural, inedible shell as part of the harvesting process. Let me read that to you again two or three times. Extracting of fruit or vegetable from its natural, inedible shell. So again, extracting a fruit or veggie from its natural, inedible shell as part of the harvesting process. There's one more point, but I think we'll leave it off for now. So again, extracting a fruit or veggie from its natural, inedible shell as part of the harvesting process. There will be a quiz. Now that's a mouthful. That is a mouthful. And I did have my students memorize these 39 definitions, but it was a matching, you know, they were able to squeeze by that spitting the whole thing out.
I think
but
we passed the test.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do that.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, I'm trying to be
like
exact with this definition.
Like a pistachio? Or
So a lot of let's face it, you and I are eating, we're in the kitchen or the table. So this part of the malacha is really not going to be relevant. We'll get to this in a second. Pistachios, I think I have, or corn husks, other things are not going to be relevant. So we'll give some examples in a second. There's a little write in here, ladies, right below the box. There is a tolda. A tolda, again, is an offshoot, is a child, so to speak. The av is dosh. The tolda, the offshoot, the child, is mefarek. That's mem, fei, resh, kuf. So again, this is right underneath that box. It's a write in. Is mefarek. Actually, I'm sorry, you can look down three or four lines and you'll see it's kind of out of place. But those two Hebrew words, the first one is schita, the second one is mefarek. So we're going to put a line through that mefarek and just move it up to right below the box. Yeah. But at least you have it spelled out there. Mem, fe, resh, kuf is the tolda that we're focusing on right now. So again, it's a tolda, which means it's biblically prohibited, but it's not part of the list of 39. It is biblically prohibited. It's in the biblical category. It's not a rabbinic add-on. But at the same time, it's not going to be listed in the 39. The 39 list is dosh. And then under that, we're going to have a couple offshoots, a couple tildos. So, that's mefarek. It's basically the same as dosh. The difference is mefarek is using your hands. Dosh is I didn't give you this part of the definition because I thought that was enough already. But dosh really is shredding with your foot or with some kind of implement that's a downward motion, and the mefarek is your hands. So it's like a hitting motion or some type of motion like that. It's a different action, but the goal and the result are the same. It's to extract fruit and veggie from its shell. Okay, so again, I apologize for confusing the sheet here. Is the mefarek, we're putting a line through the mefarek there and moving it up to right below the box. Mefarek is a tolda, same as dosh, it's just using your hands. Okay.
Tolda
is an offshoot, it's like a child of the av, of the main category. So this is a subcategory, if you will.
The av
is dosh.
Which is threshing.
That's the main category. The subcategory is mefarek, which again is same level of culpability and consequence and everything else. They're slightly different processes, and we're
This is with the hands.
This is the hands. Dosh is with like a treading type motion. Being city folk, you know, the difference doesn't make that much difference. Certainly not to me. So the picture book has it, for example, where there's a board, and under the board are I don't know what you call those things, but they're almost like spikes. and the person is standing on the board. It's almost like a, like a, what do you call it, like a lawnmower today. He's being drawn by a cow, and the board is being tread over the wheat. So that that pressure is what separates, what extracts, separates, well, maybe too strong of a word, it severs the connection between the chaff of the wheat and the kernels of the wheat. That's the classic malacha done. And for, it's done today. It's just done by combines or done by, you know, whatever machinery. Certainly not done the same way. Okay, so the next line also, there's going to be a little bit of a type of a little bit of a change. Peels that are left on until eating. So a line through the word during and right in until. Peels that are left on until eating. Yeah, we're not talking about apples or something like that. We're talking about peels that come off, but they're left on until. Like a clementine, like peanuts, like pistachios, okay. Like the foods that you and I are used to, okay. You know, coming with shells, bananas, all that kind of stuff. Those are permissible. That is not dush. And this is where it's important to focus on our definition. The definition
what is
was
permissible?
Say again?
What is permissible?
If it's a something which is left on until the eating, until you eat it. A shell that's, even if it's inedible, but it's a shell that's left on until eating, is permissible to remove. So the difference here is that is in the definition. Dush, we said, is the extracting of fruit or veggie from its natural inedible shell as part of the harvesting process. It's specifically done as part of the earlier steps of the process. So that you know, the chaff of the wheat kernel comes off way early in the process. You don't get that at your table and start pounding the chaff off. That's not the way things work. So anything which you and I buy at Kroger Publix and you end up taking it off in the kitchen or at the table is not dush. That's totally permissible. We'll get into a couple of malachos. There might be some issues to be aware of, and we talked about muksa and having empty shells on the table. But it's dush, it's not. Specifically to things that are earlier.
I guess what's confusing, but I'll understand it better, is that when you take like a tangerine or a clementine and you take the cover off the outer part, you're tearing.
Right. So the malachas, there's two malachas that we've touched on, this has come up before, korea and mechateich, which have to do with tearing and measured cutting. So both of those don't relate to food really at all. So if it's an edible item, those malachas don't apply. It's specifically the fabrics. Some say it's also the paper. Even that's not so clear.
The two that does not
apply to food
Definitely.
Are tearing,
okay.
korea, I don't okay. know what number that is, and mechateich. Measured cutting. That's well down our line.
So if you tear the toilet paper not straight, this is the problem that you... Is this a problem that because they fall apart straight, this is...
That makes a potential problem of both korea and mechateich. So yeah, the classic toilet paper problem, you know, solution is, one of the solutions is don't tear it on the first. Try and tear it in a weird... In a weird way.
To open a tea bag, you also tear.
Right, so that's a good example. The tea bag tab, for example, really should not be pulled out of the You should leave the tab. I'm thinking, you know, Lipton tea, whatever. So the little envelope, and out comes the tea bag. So really, on Shabbos, you can open the bag. That's considered a destructive type activity, and then the bag goes in the water. But you should not take the tab out of that envelope because that's perfect. Exactly. Just let the bag hang in the envelope. The way that if it comes up by itself, it comes up by itself. But they specifically designed that way so that the tab comes out and it looks nice, and you know the bag can be thrown away.
But
shouldn't do that on Shabbos.
You're talking about the one that you just opened, right?
Not they have come in individual envelopes.
Yes.
You know, like Lipton or Kroger.
What are the bigelow teas? They don't come. You need to like tear. Right?
The individual tea bags, like you know.
The bigelow.
Like mine come in.
Yeah, the big one.
Each
one has a bag. You just rip it open, throw it out,
and
pop it in.
The tea bag is totally enclosed in it. It's not like that.
It's not a tag.
It doesn't have a tag.
It's just a pack, and you just drop it in.
There's no string.
Right, so that's not a problem. In other words. Tearing anything like that, sugar packets, anything like that.
It's like a sugar packet.
A way that's destructive, so that, again, if you're ripping and then throwing, that's fine.
It's okay if even if you like hit the letter also?
No. No, you have to avoid the letters. Letters are designs. Squigglies are fine, but if it's, I shouldn't say design. So anything which has a meaningful message. So the word lipton, you can't cut through. If there's a picture of a tea leaf, you shouldn't cut through that. That sometimes gets really hard. Should I ever try opening
sometimes
a wacky,
they just
what do they call
like
it? Those gummy
dashes. Yeah. You know, like
tear here?
Almost like, yeah, almost like an indicator to tear there.
That's actually fine as long as you don't tear through the words tear here.
Tear here. Here.
Right. So those lines are nothing.
You distract
well, toilet paper, the goal of it is to use the paper and then throw it out. Whereas the bag, the sugar packet, is just totally stripped. You rip, assuming there's no letters, you rip in the top of the sugar packet, you throw the little piece away, you dump the sugar, and
you're not going to use it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Paper towel. The goal is to use that paper towel, and then you throw it away. But the tearing is constructive in that case. You're constructing something. The paper towel is not really usable, certainly not the way you want to use it, on the roll, and now it is. Whereas, I mean, there are those who would even make that argument with sugar packets. We are drawing some thin lines here. But our custom is not to worry about anything flimsy, flexible that you're ripping to basically destroy. Your goal is the sugar, not the bag. No problem at all.
Uh-huh.
It gets more complicated, and we'll talk about all this when you're opening a cereal box. The box is a much more substantial type of thing than the more flimsy the packaging is, the more Postkim will say, don't worry about it.
What do you mean cereal box? You cannot open the cereal box?
Some people don't. A lot, you know.
Ah, some people don't.
A lot of people. I mean, in other words, the more sturdy, potentially reusable the packaging is, the more Postkim, the more halachic opinions will say, either open it before Shabbos, which is always a good idea, or destroy it.
Not the one that's inside, right?
Well, exactly. They make that distinction. They make that. The many folks will make that distinction. The box should be open before Shabbos. The bag inside, the parchment paper bag, don't worry about it. Because it's flimsy. For, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, we throw all of it away, generally. Unless you're an art teacher and you save all the stuff for projects. We throw all of it away. But
what about
cans? Some people avoid opening on Shabbos. You know, there's a spectrum. Very complicated and very hard.
And Coke bottles? Is
that Coke bottles with the caps.
Caps.
Right. So there are definitely people who avoid opening that on Shabbos. And then there are plenty of people who... I mean, I told my students time and time again, there's certain things which are well established. There's hundreds or thousands of years of history around certain issues. You know, Zareya, you know, watering a lawn. It's pretty cut and dry. There's no technology involved. No, you can't water the lawn if it's going to lead to growth of whatever. Very straightforward. Whereas when you get into something like packaging, it gets very gray because we, you know, how long has packaging been around? I mean, think about it honestly. 100 years ago, there wasn't a box. You had cans, people canned foods. You didn't have petroleum based plastics. I mean, none of that stuff existed. So,
polymers.
You had certain things. You know, maybe I'm minimizing how much they, but you know, you can't go that far back and have packaging the way we have packaging. It doesn't exist. Tin foil, I don't know how old tin foil is. So, figuring out exactly what category fits in and what Klai Yisrael is going to decide to do about it is not so. I mean, the Coke caps that we're talking about, we didn't grow up with. I mean, I remember they were split and the other, yeah, the ones with the other, they're relatively new. Where there's a band on the top and it pops, you know, falls down, and the safety stuff that came out of some of it came out of the Tylenol thing in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not old news. So we're still post-game, and ultimately, there's a whole topic we should discuss one day. At the end of the day, it's the Jewish people who decide what to do, despite what the rabbis, you know, all the post-game say, the great rabbis, their rulings. If at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael doesn't accept that ruling for whatever reason. I mean, if we're wrong, we're wrong. I mean, there are cases where, you know, they say 75 years ago, you know, Shomer Shabbos, kosher-keeping family would, you know, very often would look at the label, and if there's no lard and there's no whatever, you ate it. You know, the OU was just starting.
Yeah.
Today you have, you know, probably literally 600 to 700 hechsherim, and we wouldn't think of eating something without checking it out first. That didn't, you know, so... I don't mean if we're doing something wrong, but I mean if there's a big dispute, and packaging is a great example, at the end of the day, you know, in 50 years, Klal Yisrael will figure out its path. That's exactly what. Mm-hmm. And there might be two or three different. You know. Anyway, okay, let's get back to Dush. So in short, Dush, and we'll see a couple applications, but we'll see very quickly, Dush and Mefarik are really, they're the beginning, they're the Av and the Tolda. We can't ignore them. Can't have a serious conversation about these things and not talk about them, but they're really not relevant to us. We'll talk about, you know, we'll see why we're spending three pages on this in a second. So some applications, ladies, include honeycomb, which again, you know, you can certainly buy it and it's certainly available. That will be usher. To squeeze honey out of a honeycomb piece on Shabbos would actually be usher, because that's considered part of the harvesting process. Most of us buy honey, it's already been removed, whatever that process is called, has already been removed from the comb. So to go ahead and press honeycomb or anything like that to extract the honey would be usher on Shabbos. That would be with your hands, at least, would be mefarik. By contrast, corn husk is considered mutter, is permissible, because that's not necessarily, it's not viewed in halacha as being part of the harvesting process. You can buy it with the husk, and you buy it without the husk. And the big, you know, garbage bag, and everyone in Kroger ripping it off, because they know, why should you pay for that? But it's not necessarily considered part of the harvesting process, and therefore that, in fact, is permissible.
It's kind of like a banana.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though many of us, you know, no one buys bananas that are peeled, and some of these folks do buy corn that don't. But yeah, exactly. It's very similar to a banana, which is totally permissible. Okay, so that's Dush, the Av, and Mefarik, one of the Toldos. Now, where the relevant stuff really comes in is the next issue, which is Schita. And again, I asked you to put a line through the word Umefarik, because, you know, writing it up based on the safer I got it from, I stuck them together. But as I was teaching it, I realized there's no point in doing that. They're confusing. Schita is also a tolda. It's also a subcategory, an offshoot, a child, if you will, of dush. So you got mefarik as a tolda and schita. So schita is here in the Hebrew, in English, any way you want, really. But the Hebrew word schita is right there. So the translation of schita is squeezing. It's squeezing. And a definition is extracting a liquid from a solid. Extracting a liquid from a solid.
Okay. Question.
So it's extracting a liquid from a solid.
Okay.
Lemon juice, orange juice. Right. So let me just throw out one idea before I take your questions, which is, and this can get very confusing, this is one of the only cases, or certainly a few cases, where you've got two of them. Meaning, you've got a tolda of dush, this is mocha hay, number five, is schita, and also, just to confuse you, there's also a tolda, which is called schita, which is a tolda of malabane, number 12. And they look the same, but they're actually very different in conceptually. So again, you also have a tolda called tchita under, which is also extracting liquid from a solid, under malabin. Malabin, I'll remind you, is, we translate, I think, as bleaching. It's really more generally laundering. So for example, squeezing, you know, you have a wet towel, and you squeeze that water out of that towel, that generally, we'll see what the difference is in a second, but generally that would be an example of tchita malabain from number 12, not tchita of dush number 5. Is this confusing? You
yeah.
Betcha.
Okay.
So that in Svarim, the time of tchita, and sometimes you got to really work hard to figure out which tchita they're talking about, and that, based on which malach it is, will help you determine, you know, why is it prohibited and why is it permissible.
Okay, and this is prohibited, right? You shouldn't make lemonade on Shabbos.
Correct. We're going to get some examples from lemons, right?
From lemons.
Certainly from powder is perfectly fine.
Yeah, powder is fine.
Or from lemon juice
in
the bottle.
Well, what's interesting, we probably did it. Okay. We probably did a lot of things. Elliot's relative sent him a lemon tree.
Mm.
And it's been three years. It's the cutest thing.
Lovely lemon.
And it's huge lemons.
Wow.
Now, he doesn't make lemonade with it, but he makes tea for Friday night, and then he cuts
mm-hmm.
the lemon. Now, if
but
you just drop it in there,
just dropping it is fine.
What if you take it and
well,
you
can't
yeah, that you can't do. That you can't do. That's actually the most one of the most relevant examples. We're going to get there, and, you know, some of the details.
So no gazpacho neither.
What then?
No gazpacho.
Gazpacho.
Why? Why no gazpacho? Why no gazpacho?
Because you squeeze the
but you
tomatoes.
Can squeeze lemon to the hard food, right?
Don't squeeze.
Ah,
lemon.
So we're gonna get to.
Don't squeeze
yes.
tomato.
So let's get into. Let's go a little further. You're bringing up the
okay.
The way around this. Okay, so let's
we're always looking
let's go through this, and by the next phase, we'll see some examples.
Okay.
So again, now that we know there's two schlitas, let's just define this a little bit further, and that is you're extracting a liquid from a solid, as we said before, and your goal is the liquid. Your goal is a liquid. Your goal is the produce. The
goal.
Your goal.
What you're trying to get.
What you're trying to accomplish.
You want the juice.
Exactly, is
you want
the
wine,
juice.
You want the sorry,
and we'll see by contrast. I mean, we can just you know understand. I think under 12, which is laundering, your goal is not the water that comes out of the towel. Your goal is the towel. Just to see the contrast between the two, right? When you're drying something, when you're laundering something, you don't care about the water. You don't care about whatever's coming out of the you know the fabric. You want the fabric. You know the fabric dries. You can use it. So even though there are many ways the same act and it's the same label in halacha, but the goal is very different. The goal is basically opposite. This will affect certain things. Okay, hopefully this will become clearer as we move on. So the next point, ladies, is Issur d'oraisa and Issur d'rabbanan. Issur d'oraisa, refresh your memory, means a biblical prohibition. Issur d'oraisa, just those words, means a biblical prohibition, and this whole issue of schita is only biblically prohibited if the liquid is considered important. The liquid in the eyes of halacha, again, this is a legal definition, not a American, you know, we like Coke, so the Coke, no. It's a legal definition, and
biblically prohibited if what?
If it's the liquid that you're extracting is considered important, has a certain level of importance. And to be more specific, that means it's one of the seven special liquids. You've heard of the seven special species of Israel. This is a whole different list. Related, actually, but different. So this is seven special liquids, which we're not going to list right now. But the most important examples are going to be grape juice and olive oil. Grape juice and olive oil are the two examples discussed in halacha time and time again. As the two things biblically you're not allowed to squeeze. You can't squeeze grapes to get the juice, and you can't squeeze olives to get the oil. Because again, both of those results, both of those liquids are considered important and special in the eyes of the halacha. They're both in the list of the seven special, and that would be a biblical prohibition. And we'll see in a second why that's relevant. You know, aside from just the academics, there are certain reasons that's important. Okay, so that's the Issur d'oraisa again, which is the biblical prohibition. The next section there is Issur d'rabbanan, which of course means the rabbinic prohibition. The rabbinic prohibition of schita, of squeezing, is basically all other liquids. The rabbis came along, as they often do, and extend the prohibition so that the Torah itself only prohibits the seven being squeezed. The rabbis come along and add all other liquids. And the next page
later
we're
going
to
tell us what the seven liquids are, but that's okay.
Right, that's another, right.
Yeah, for another day.
Right.
Later find out what those are.
So that's the rabbinic prohibition.
Which one?
Is all other liquids are considered, and that last little section there, Issur d'rabbanan, is rabbinic prohibition, are all other liquids.
Okay.
It does
so
seem like it should be all.
Lemon juice.
I mean, if it's liquid, it's from liquid.
Right.
I mean
the conceptually, the reason this is prohibited is it's a creative activity. You're creating something new. It wasn't an olive, now it's olive oil. It's two different things.
Different.
They use differently, they're eating they taste different, they're different things. So the result is only considered important if complicated if it's in that list. Whereas lemon juice in the eyes of the Torah wouldn't be important enough. Even though you and I, that's the most relevant, single most relevant one of this whole list, that would not be biblically prohibited. Now, the top of the next page should say leniencies. So there are a couple important leniencies with in this regard. And that is, number A of this is going to be sucking fruit. If you take the fruit and you put it, not necessarily in your mouth, but you're holding it to your mouth, and you're sucking the juice that way, sucking an orange wedge, for example, and you're sucking the juice out of the orange wedge, that is actually permissible. And the reason is because that already is considered like eating. Right? No, there's no such thing as a malacha in your mouth. You can't separating dust, you're using your teeth, you know, let's say you like to chomp on wheat kernels, still in the chat, you know. There's no such thing as dust in your mouth, for example. all the malachas don't apply once it passes your teeth. So sucking a fruit, and again, the example would be an orange wedge, is permissible because that is considered eating. That's already considered eating. So, despite the fact that squeezing, taking an orange to one of the orange juicing famous bombs and making orange juice will be prohibited on Shabbos, the rabbinic prohibition, this is, once it's in, it's at your mouth, you're sucking the juice out, that is perfectly fine. B of this is, which was mentioned earlier, and that is squeezing the fruit directly onto a solid. Squeezing your fruit directly onto a solid, an example would be lemon into sugar, is permissible. And so again, squeezing the liquid directly onto a solid is permissible. An example would be lemon into sugar. And the reason for this is because the halacha looks at it as if nothing's being created. It was a solid. The lemon juice was in the lemon. Now the lemon juice, while it's in midair, it's liquid, but we kind of ignore that. And now it's in the sugar. So it went from solid to solid. We ignore the fact that for microseconds it was a liquid. So that's another leniency in these halachos, that one is allowed to squeeze a solid directly into a solid, because that's not considered, again, the whole definition of shlita is extracting liquid from a solid, so the result of the liquid, if it goes directly, we're not talking about bowl and then sugar, and it has to be direct, it has to be almost
solid.
Instantaneous.
And it's solid.
Solid, yeah.
So
solid? Solid. All right. I'd say it maybe.
Salad is a solid.
Yeah, actually, that works too, yeah.
So you can squeeze lemon onto fish. You can.
Yes. So the question always becomes how, is it being absorbed? So lemon into sugar is a great example because unless it's saturated, it will definitely be absorbed. So lemon into fish, which is discussed certainly in halacha, would be fine as long as it's being absorbed. So lemon into a salmon salad or a tuna fish salad or something like that would also be fine, as long as it's being absorbed to a large extent and it's not just pooling. You're pretending it's going into a salad when it's really, same as if it was going to a bowl. That's not okay. It has to go into a salad and be absorbed by the salad. Now, before we get too excited, put a line again, another typo, another change here. Put a line through the word applications. We're going to move that down. So just a line through that for now. Issa d'oraisa, again, the biblical prohibitions, which we just said the main examples were grapes and olives, these leniencies do not apply. The leniencies we just delineated above, A, sucking fruit, and B, squeezing fruit directly into a solid, those leniencies do not apply to the seven. Right. And more commonly in our world would be grapes. You can't squeeze a grape. I don't know why you'd want to, but can't squeeze a grape into sugar or grape into fish or whatever. And similarly, again, we wouldn't do this necessarily, but you can't squeeze an olive to get whatever juices or oils out of it into a solid. The leniencies do, in the next section, Isser Darabonin, they do both apply to anything which is rabbinically prohibited. Anything which is rabbinically prohibited because of schita would be, these two areas are waived. In other words, when the rabbis made the extension, when they said you can't, the Torah says you can't extract the liquid from a solid in certain specific limited areas, we're going to extend it to all other liquids, but we're going to make some leniencies, not loopholes, but areas where it simply doesn't apply. There's reasons why we don't want to extend it in that, you know, that far. Which is classic. That's typical. The rabbis typically extend the prohibition, but not all the way.
Is the raisa soaking and squeezing?
That would not apply.
What would not apply to what?
In other words, someone taking a grape to their lips and sucking grape juice out of the grape, that would be prohibitive.
Mm-hmm. Because the grape and the olives.
Right. Exactly.
Or any of the seven.
Okay. Or any of the seven. Exactly.
So we don't know about you.
Right.
Except for
grapes.
We won't find them. So you're the whole
list. And the rabbinical goes the opposite way.
But the rabbinical, yes, those leniencies do in fact apply. Which is why, in my examples, they happen to be practical. But I also, chose in those examples things that are only rabbinic. So orange juice is not one of the seven, mm-hmm. and therefore is only prohibited rabbinically, and therefore you can. Suck the orange juice out of the wedge, or clementines, or anything like that.
As long as it's not the seven.
Right. Yeah.
The seven prunes.
Right.
So I don't get.
And then lemons. The example I gave for number two, lemons again. Lemons are the most common in our world, probably, and lemons are definitely not one of the. It's not one of the seven. You can, in fact, squeeze a lemon. You know, practically, you can take one of Elliot's lemons, squeeze it into the sugar. And then use the sugar for whatever you want. Make lemonade, you can use tea, you can do whatever you want. That's a good trick.
There you go.
So you can make lemonade.
That's a good trick.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Whereas you cannot take the lemon and squeeze it into the water. That's
so
out.
So what if it becomes a volume in which the lemon juice overrides the sugar,
right.
And then it's becoming liquid.
Right, that's already a problem. One should avoid that. So the volume, you know, it to be, you know, intellectually honest, the target has to be, you know, large enough, so to speak, to absorb the liquid that's coming in. Yeah, that's always okay too. You can still slice the lemon and just have it floating around in the water.
Okay.
And that may not have the same impact, but you get the essence of it, right? That's certainly...
I love that word.
That's certainly fine. Okay, so applications. Now applications, you can write applications in here, ladies. And we'll go through a list of examples. So one, which we already touched on, you know, we don't have to write down necessarily again, but lemons is the most common example. We just said it would be prohibited to squeeze a lemon into the water or into tea. It would be permissible to squeeze the lemon into sugar. Interestingly, the postman do point out that taking your spoon and squeezing that lemon while it's floating around in the water would actually be prohibited. You can stir it and whatever, but you can't go out of your way to squeeze the juice like you would on a Tuesday. Squeeze the lemon juice out of that wedge into the water, that actually would be prohibited. That's the rabbinic shita. So, okay. You have to give all this to Charlotte and Elliot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's going to be calling you.
No problem.
It's going to be calling you.
Okay. Sorry. Cloth and sponges. I have a whole long list of these types of things here. So, cloth, this is where it gets a little confusing to folks.
Mm-hmm.
Cloth generally would more likely, you know, the conversation would be under malabane, and you're squeezing it to get the liquid out so the cloth will dry. That's a malabane type issue. So cloth would only be prohibited, I mean, at the end of the day, if it's prohibited, it's prohibited. But for at least our understanding purposes, cloth would only be prohibited under dush if, for some reason, you want the liquid that the cloth had absorbed. Which is not super duper common, certainly in our world. But if that were the scenario, you absorb something into cotton ball or cloth or something, and then you squeeze it out and you retain the liquid, that would be an example of schita of dash, number 5 here. It would only be rabbinic, but that would be.
Squeeze the cotton ball and I need the water that's
right.
What about the cotton ball itself?
Right, so if your goal is
if
to get rid of
water, I just need water.
Right, so that's still prohibited. For all intents and purposes, it makes no difference because it is going to be prohibited.
It's a different malacha.
It's a different category, which mm-hmm. I don't want to mean to say it's only academic because there are situations where it does make a difference, but generally, it's academic because, yeah, if your goal is to simply dry out the cotton ball, that would be malape. That would be the other schita. Yep. Okay. Something like sponges, all these are kind of the same. Paper towel, napkins, cotton balls, all these types of things. We have baby wipes further down. If your goal in all of these situations is to impart the liquid on something, so that actually would be schita in our category. You don't necessarily, it's a different concept maybe, you and I don't think of it that way, like lemon juice, you want the lemon juice. But if your goal is to wet whatever it is, like a cotton ball, the goal of a cotton ball is to deliver the alcohol, to deliver whatever, the medicine,
that is
not okay. Mm-hmm. That would actually be prohibited under this schita.
You really shouldn't use a sponge on Shabbos.
Correct.
Really.
Sponge should not be used on Shabbos. Cotton ball.
And
wipe the table.
So the answer to that is brushes. Brushes. One of the next items is brushes. Certainly using a brush these days, we have a lot of plastic nylon type brushes. A brush is, halacha at least puts them. If it's a very dense, very tightly packed brush, then most poskim say you can't use that on Shabbos because it's too similar, even though really the liquid is not absorbed the same way as it is. Because again, the whole issue here is extracting. You can extract liquid from the sponge or extract liquid from the lemon. And the bristles aren't really absorbing. They're designed not to. But since it's trapped, it's only a toothbrush, traps liquid. And you're running your finger off it and water goes all over. So, because if it's dense and it's trapping water between the bristles, we also prohibit that. That's pretty widely accepted. Whereas if it's wide bristles, like you see, especially those Shabbos dish thingamabobs, whatever you call those things, dish brushes, they're designed specifically not to be so tight. I mean, you buy them commercially at the store also, but. They don't have halacha in mind per se, but many of them are perfectly fine because they're not, the bristles are there, they get wet, they have some soap on them, but they're not trapped between the bristles. That's perfectly fine.
How do you want the table?
So the table, good question. The table, wiping up spills, we kind of skipped that one.
So I thought you could use like a kitchen towel.
Okay, so you're saying use something bigger that can absorb it.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So you're exactly on the right path, which is the goal here would be to do the opposite. The liquid is applied to the surface, to the table, to the counter, to the whatever, and then you use something a shmata, a cloth, a paper towel that's already been torn, something like that. And you're cleaning the table, but you're really absorbing the liquid, not the opposite. As normally, you go to the sink. You go to the sink, you get it all wet, you wring it out as much as you want, and then you apply the liquid all over wherever you want. On Shabbos, you're really supposed to do the opposite.
But it's no liquid, it's just like a crumb and stuff. If
it's dry, there's no issue. There's no issue at all. Being dry, you just want to sweep the crumbs off of the table. That's a non-issue. The only issue here would be you've got a liquid, and your goal is to have a clean table. So are you, the operative question is, are you extracting the liquid from the towel, sponge, whatever, or are you absorbing the liquid?
It's not like liquid, it's still something.
Mm-hmm. You need to put a plastic on it.
Dirty, right.
Not, Even if you just, you know, take away the crumbs, the table still goes.
Still sticky or dirty or whatever,
sticky,
right.
Yeah.
So there, that's exactly the Shabbos way of doing it would be to spray or sprinkle or however you want to, you know, you don't want to flood it, but you're allowed to get the table, the surface wet, and then use
something dry
and clean it. There, legally, halachically, we look at it as if you're absorbing the liquid, which, I mean, you are, as opposed to coming at the table with a wet cloth, and there you're clearly not absorbing, you're doing the opposite.
North, I went to somebody's house who had two plastic tablecloths.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, they had one.
And Shabbos day.
And then for lunch, they just took that one off,
right,
threw it away, and another one. I mean,
yeah, a disposable thing.
Things can get one of those clear vinyl covers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this certainly, I mean, that not only is it easy. I mean, I remember one of my rams seeing that in yeshiva, because in yeshiva you got these big, big rolls of plastic, and the guy's
mm-hmm.
just, you cut 20 and you put them down, and everything's styrofoam. So he was bemoaning the fact of how, you know, anti-earth friendly, environment friendly
right,
that is, because it's all, I mean,
yeah,
especially you have 500 guys who's doing dishes. You know, that's institutionally, that's not happening. But, so it's certainly not environmentally friendly, but it's certainly mommy friendly.
Mm-hmm.
When all you have to do is lift off the plastic and you're clean. I mean,
plastic off and
yeah.
ready for the next day,
yeah.
for the next meal.
You need to do more of that. But that certainly, you know, avoids the whole issue. But just understand the halacha, that's the way you want to do it. One will wet the surface and then dry it up. Now, an important point to make here would be that in wiping up spills or wiping up the table after you wet it on purpose, the towel, again, the target, so to speak, the towel needs to be big enough to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want there to be all this water and one little paper towel and then the paper towel stopping wet, and every time you move, you're in essence squeezing liquid out of that paper towel. It's on purpose. You know, we can find reasons why it's okay. But in ideally speaking, you really should be using a towel that's big enough to do the job. Two or three paper towels as opposed to one. You know, whatever it is. So if there's a spill on the floor, you're certainly allowed to clean it up. I think that's one of those issues everyone gets very nervous about. You're allowed to clean up the spill from the floor, but you should do it in a way where, you know, you throw the paper towel, napkins, whatever, on the spill and let it do its thing and pick it up and throw it out. You should certainly avoid, you know, pressing. I mean, your goal is to lift the stain anyway. Your goal is really not to leave it behind. But one should certainly avoid situations where the towel is too small to do the job, and then you're making, you know,
yeah.
A, it's not doing the job, and B, halachically, you're getting into squeezing the cloth, the paper towel, whatever.
Rihanna has
letting go.
Maybe once or twice poured her water on the floor,
right.
even at like Morzina's, whatever, and she'll just give me like two kitchen towels for me to just like plop it
here,
down,
right.
swoop it up, and
yep.
you know. Pick it up, so there's no ringing. It's
right.
plenty to
you
absorb.
You let the
it.
Towel do the job, and
yeah.
just
once,
please.
Maybe
once. Maybe.
See that next one's baby wipes. What
yes.
do you use, and you don't use baby wipes.
So baby wipes. This
oh.
is a big discussion. Again, let's realize what's late. That baby wipes
next
are brand new. I mean, how old are baby wipes?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't. You know. My mother didn't use them on me. I mean, they're really not. Are they as old as Pampers? I don't know. Probably not. So the issue with baby wipes is the same as we've been discussing. They come wet, obviously, and the goal is that moisture should be on the baby. So is that permissible or not? Big dispute. Lots of Jews doing different things. Certainly one of the answers is if the, and I think in our world, certainly where most people are going to use them, we'll lean towards the side that says you can. Certainly if they are moist enough to do the job, meaning the wipe itself is moist. It's not like you guys, you know.
Sitting in liquid.
It's not,
yeah, it's either,
it's not.
I mean, they go, post them kind of go both ways. But certainly if the one of the rationales is the liquid's sitting on the surface of the wipe, then you're not squeezing. The liquid
mm-hmm.
simply being drawn from the, you know, being taken off, so to speak, of the surface of the wipe,
mm-hmm.
ends up on the baby, that's fine.
So the wipes on the top are drier than the wipes
right.
on the bottom.
Right. So I've heard people say, you only use the ones on the bottom, you know. When I asked the child, when we had our first child, the Rebbe told me, you know, just be careful. Don't go crazy squeezing the what, you know, squeezing it out. But that is perfectly fine. And part of that is predicated, you know, just the academics of it, is predicated on the fact that it is rabbinic. It's the goal is the result. So the tchita of dash, it does fit into this category. The goal is the liquid, not the wipe itself is fine in the garbage. The goal is the liquid, and it's only rabbinic. It's not the olives and, I mean, it's not part of the list of seven. So it's all rabbinic to start with. So when you understand that, it already becomes much easier to allow, you know, to come up with reasons why it's okay, type of thing. And why plenty of people do use wipes on Shabbos. A lot of people don't. They'll use baby oil, you know, the good old fashioned way, baby oil and toilet paper, or baby oil and Kleenex or whatever.
And Shoshana was, when we went to Israel, she had to put cream on the baby for diaper rash or whatever, mm-hmm. but she uses a back of a spoon or
like a shinoi.
Oh, like a shinoi, right. Or you could
that's getting into
tochein. But you just, you know, you can squeeze it on and just close the diaper.
Right.
Let the baby do the smearing.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they will.
It'll
get all over.
Yeah.
Usually none.
Which, and this week,
not an issue.
This next week, but I always bring up the subject of moisturizer. I know you can't use, you know, during the week.
It's only thick, anything thick.
As you get older and old, can you take moisturizer and put water?
So you can either make your own and look and, you know, loosen it up beforehand, or find something, some, you know, oils, certainly baby oils, for anything which has that kind of consistency, baby oil, anything which runs relatively easily.
Water.
It's perfectly fine. Water for sure.
Water,
something, anything like, yeah. I mean, but even water is, you know, the viscosity theoretically is zero. You can use things that are thicker than that. Aloe vera oil is a lot. Some of them are thinner. I use that sometimes in my hands.
And I'm always putting cream on my hands during the week, and then Shabbos comes and I go, can I?
Yeah, most hand creams are not okay on Shabbos. You have to find either, like I said, either water it down, which we've done. Or
so I can take it and water it down?
Yeah. You can do that. It has to pour, where the line is not 100% clear, but it has to pour relatively easily to be usable in Shabbos.
Okay.
You can try bar soap. You know what is bar
soap? What's that?
It's kind of oil stuff. It's some people like baby oil. It's made for the hair to make it shiny. But
it's as good as a moisturizer.
Yeah, you can put on the skin.
There you go.
$16.
Okay.
And
the best thing ever happened to me in a few months.
No, for real.
Wow.
It's from France.
Okay.
You send it. Amazon.
And it's liquidy?
It's a spray. From a thermal, whatever, spraying in
really?
France. And they bring it in cups and you just spray it. And do you remember I used to have black spots because it cleans everything.
Really?
And moisturize and everything.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
That's right. It's a perfect class.
I came here to get cosmetic advice. I'm not leaving without it.
Tell your wife that.
Right. Okay. So it is, it's 8:20, whatever it is. We'll stop here.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.